Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, I have a stat that I think will put a smile on your face regarding Patrick Mahomes. Plus, I think this year was maybe the lesson that the Chiefs need to move on. We'll also update you on what our favorite Kansas City Chiefs player is doing. It's something we have not done yet in 2019, but is definitely a long time coming.
Talk about Tony Gonzalez?
No, not that. So, earlier today, or it might have been late last night, they have released the Super Bowl odds for next year. Super Bowl is in Miami next year, and I'm telling you guys, I want the Chiefs to go so bad to the Super Bowl next year. So, they have released the odds. The Chiefs are the favorite right now. It's obviously a lot to happen. We got the combine. We got the NFL draft. We got free agency. We got a lot of stuff to happen. But right now, if you want to bet on the Chiefs to make next year's Super Bowl and to win next year's Super Bowl, they are 6-1 odds. So for every $1 you bet, you can win $6. Second are the Rams, Saints, and the Patriots. They are at 8-1. Third are the Chargers, Bears, and Pittsburgh Steelers at 14-1. At 16-1, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Dallas, your favorite team, the Vikings, with Kirk Cousins, who will certainly lead them to the Super Bowl to play the Chiefs next year. And at 20-1, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Indianapolis, Cleveland is getting 20-1 numbers right now in Vegas, and the Houston Texans. Now, I know many of you are not familiar with gambling, but let me tell you how this works, and let me tell you what Vegas just told you. They're telling you that the Chiefs are the clear favorites, and they don't think that another team is on the Chiefs' level. There's not another team sharing odds with the Chiefs. The Rams and the Saints have the same odds, 8-1, same as the New England Patriots. The Chargers, a distance to the Chiefs at 14-1. This is telling me that for the first time, probably since the turn of the century, maybe we can find one 2003 or 2004 year, but next year, it's not just a Kansas City thing, Super Bowl or bust. It's not just a Missouri thing or a regional thing. The Chiefs have legitimate nationwide NFL folks are going to be picking and talking about the Chiefs and holding them to Super Bowl expectations. I mean, they're the only team on this list. It tells you right now there appears to be a decent-sized gap between the Chiefs and the other teams in the NFL right now. That I disagree a little bit at them being by far and away the best odds in the NFL, but I'm not Vegas. I don't make the lines. 6-1, the closest team is 8-1. Vegas loves the Chiefs for Super Bowl next year.
Which drives me nuts. You know, I mean, I love it, but it drives me nuts because the Chiefs have the 31st ranked defense in the NFL this year. They're one offsides penalty away from going to the Super Bowl this year. And now Vegas has them 6-1 to win the Super Bowl next year. That's the part to me that gets me even more frustrated. I mean, it should make me, I guess, happy, and maybe I will be once we get a little bit farther away from the Super Bowl. But I can't imagine the St. Louis Rams holding the Chiefs to 13 points last night in Atlanta at the Super Bowl. Wouldn't have happened. More than likely, we're Super Bowl champs right now if you got a fraction of a defense. You know, that's the part I can't get over. Like the frustration that set in for me in the what-if bowl last night instead of the Super Bowl just drives me nuts. Like, if Vegas thinks the Chiefs are going to be this good next year, they're one offsides penalty away from going this year. Maybe I'm looking at this completely glass half empty right now. And I'm sure the farther we get away from it, the more I'll be okay with this. And I am happy the Chiefs are 6-1 odds to win the Super Bowl next year. But holy smokes, man, what could have been this year?
I'm not really as worried about that as much as I'm kind of looking ahead to. I've always felt, and maybe I'm unique in this, that when I watch like the best teams in the NFL, I always felt like there was a little bit of a gap between the Chiefs and those other teams. Like, I kind of felt like those teams were faster than the Chiefs. They're a little bit more talented than the Chiefs. They had a better quarterback than the Chiefs. They were well-coached, better coached than the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're talking about before this year.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now I look at it of whatever your tier A is for next season.
Yeah.
By the time the dust settles, whenever we start making real preseason predictions for next year and we really start to sit of, I think these are the teams that can win the Super Bowl. It is now impossible to have those conversations and not include the Chiefs. Just like it's been impossible to have those conversations and not include Green Bay. even if you didn't like the talent around the Packers, you had to believe in Aaron Rodgers. And if you got Aaron Rodgers, you got a chance.
Yeah.
Just like next year with New Orleans and Drew Brees. They got Drew Brees. They got that home field advantage. They got a shot. The Chiefs, however many teams by the time we get to your Tier A, whether you got the Chiefs at one of your power rankings or you still give it to the Patriots, however you want to break it down, you cannot create a list of teams that can realistically win the Super Bowl and be expected to win the Super Bowl and not include the Chiefs. The list of teams that have Super Bowl or bust mentality for next year has to include Kansas City. I don't know how you can create that list and not include Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
And I'm curious to see how the Chiefs are going to respond to that. You're coming into the next season with the MVP, and you're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. That's different. I mean, this year, let's be honest. I mean, what were the true expectations when the season began for the Chiefs? I mean, you and I had them, what, winning 9, 10, 11 games max?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
wild card team.
Yeah, that's kind of the way the rest of the league had them. And now you've got the MVP in your quarterback. Everybody knows about him. And now you're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. That's different than sneaking up on somebody like the Chiefs did this year.
The other thing this tells me is that a lot of people are on the same mindset as them, because Vegas sets these odds expecting that the favorite is the team that's going to get the most bets, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that, and so they set these odds accordingly. So Kansas City is not just a team that we locally believe in,
mm-hmm.
but they're saying that they believe the marketplace, the majority of people view the Chiefs as also the favorite.
And maybe you guys don't know the answer to this, because I'm not much of a gambler when it comes to this stuff. Does Vegas usually hit this right? I mean, the majority of the time?
I mean, they normally pick New England.
Yeah, so they okay. I'm just asking. Like, I didn't know if they went, like, a different direction, if the Chargers were the trendy pick going into this year. I couldn't remember.
I'm looking at this and kind of, Brandon, with what you were saying is, to me, this kind of tells me that Kansas City is going to be this year's version of what the Rams were last year. You remember, at the end of the season, and once the Rams started making moves, everybody liked the Rams. Like, you could not find a person that did not like the Rams at the beginning of the season. That's kind of what it feels like Kansas City is going to be. That at the beginning of the season, I think we all knew that the Rams were going to be good this year, that they have the talent to be good, and then they maximized what they can do, and obviously they made the Super Bowl. That's what the Vegas odds kind of tell me, is that Vegas thinks that the Chiefs have a chance to be next year's Los Angeles Rams. That, yeah, you had the playoff disappointment. You're going to do some things over the course of the offseason, and next year you're going to be hands down the best team in the NFL. That to me, it's just startling, maybe isn't the right word, but to see the Chiefs on the line by themselves and then see there be a grouping of teams with the other one, that just tells me Kansas, or that Vegas thinks, and the public thinks, to go with what you said, Brandon, that Kansas City is just far and away the best team heading into next season.
I think it was 93-ish maybe? Maybe it was 94 when the Chiefs were – I think Jason Whitlock wrote a column in the Star, and he was picking the Chiefs to go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl. And that year was an absolute nightmare. Like, an absolute nightmare in Kansas City. If I've got the year wrong, yeah, okay, fine. But you know what I'm talking about. They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the Chiefs were picked to win the Super Bowl. I remember that. And that team did not handle those expectations well. You know, let's go back to Andy Reid's dream team, you know, when he had in Philly. Turned out to be an absolute nightmare.
The team also had Vince Young at quarterback, a little bit different.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, when you're throwing expectations and labels on a team super early, that's one other thing that they've got to deal with. And I'm not saying the Chiefs can't deal with it. I think they will. I mean, you got Andy Reid, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Kelce, you got a lot of veterans on this team. And let's not forget, you got a new defensive coordinator. Bob Sutton's no longer there. So I feel like the Chiefs will be able to handle it. I feel like Mahomes will be able to handle it. But this is going to be a different animal going into the season.
Oh, the first one of the week always feels good.
You're a bigger buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
Oh, that one felt good. I just want to ask a question based on the Super Bowl yesterday and that fun and exciting game that you enjoyed yesterday.
Yeah.
Because yesterday felt like one big not so fast, my friend, from Lee Corso. I think the belief in the NFL is that once Tom Brady is done, a new team is going to emerge and take that spot. A lot of people think that. A lot of people in Kansas City think that. We were talking about the dynasty's going to be over. People are going to think Kansas City's that new team to beat.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw yesterday that Bill Belichick is the most important person in the NFL. That we've had the conversation in NFL circles for a while about, is it Belichick or Brady? I think it's obvious right now. Maybe it wasn't in 2011. Maybe it wasn't in 2010. But in 2019, if you had to pick who you'd rather have, Belichick or Brady, it's not even close. I think about the AFC Championship game. I don't think Brady played that well. Now, he did at the end of the game, but let's not forget, Brady was one bad call away from having one touchdown, three interceptions, and us saying that Brady is done and absolutely washed in this. Brady didn't play so hot yesterday, no. And they still found a way to do it.
A pick and no touchdowns, nothing.
Belichick is the most important person in the NFL. That I'm looking at the end of this road. Don't give the Patriots a quarterback. Don't let them find. I'm not saying that they're going to find their Mahomes. I'm not saying they're going to find the next Brady. Don't let the Patriots get competent quarterback play at the end of this, because I'm not sure if Belichick is ready to give that throne up yet. That I look at the Patriots right now, and Belichick has to think the same thing that all of us think. Man, you've never done it without Brady before. That's not going to motivate him in this post-Brady world that's clearly coming up either next year or the year after.
They could have won that Super Bowl with Jacoby Brissett last night.
I don't know about that.
I mean, come on now. If you're going to hold the Rams to 3 points, I mean, Brady didn't play defense. I mean, Belichick essentially held the Rams to 3 points. There's a ton of quarterbacks that could have won that game last night.
Yeah, but I also don't know if they make the Super Bowl with Jacoby
Brissett. Fair enough, but I'm just talking like last night's game. Like that was not Brady. Brady made a couple of great throws down the stretch, no doubt about it. Hit Gronk twice, Edelman a couple of great throws. But and most quarterbacks, if you're going to hold the opposing team, your defense, hold them to 3 points, you don't need the greatest quarterback of all time to win that game.
I'm not going to say that the Patriots are winning in spite of Brady, because Brady's certainly a big part. AFC Championship game takes him down the field. Of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, I still might have Brady on third down over Mahomes, over any quarterback in the NFL, because that team will just find a way to convert. But, man, I'm thinking about that next window, and as great as Mahomes is, and Mahomes might be the best quarterback in the NFL and probably is, the most important person in the NFL is Belichick. I'm sorry. I saw it yesterday. I saw it first half against the Kansas City Chiefs, that Belichick, he is the reason that the Patriots are good. So as we transition out of this Patriots era and this Patriots dynasty, don't let them find a quarterback who's competent that can be the 11th best quarterback in the NFL. That is still going to be the team that you probably have to go through to get to the Super Bowl.
But can't you just say the same thing? Don't let the Chiefs find a defensive coordinator. You know, I mean, if I'm the Patriots, I'd be scared to death of that. I mean, Andy Reid and Alex Smith put 40 on him twice, 40 on him once this year with Mahomes, 31 in the second half of the AFC title game. For whatever reason, Belichick cannot stop Andy Reid's offense for a full game. So you're telling me, I mean, if the Patriots get a quarterback, great. But you know what? If the Chiefs get a coordinator, if they add a defensive back, if they add a corner, if they bring in a Landon Collins, they bring in one or two defensive guys or draft wisely, and they turn out guys that you can get on the field, and Spagnuolo turns out to be the guy, then I think that would be my fear for the rest of the league.
You would also make that argument if you're the New England Patriots. I don't think this Patriots team is incredibly talented. Like, I think about their outside weapons. I think about their skill position. I think about the deficiencies of their quarterback. This was not a great Patriots team in my mind that we watched. I don't think it was a great Patriots team, and they just won the Super Bowl. A team that all of us can agree is down, a team that we can all agree didn't appear to be openly great, just won the Super Bowl. Just beat offensive mind Sean McVay, the greatest mind we've ever seen in the NFL.
But he hasn't been able to do that to Andy Reid. That's my point.
But he beat him.
Just beat him, yeah.
Yeah, he beat him because the Chiefs couldn't stop him. I mean, the Chiefs scored 40 on him on the road and took a last-second field goal.
Listen, I have as much optimism about the Chiefs for next year as you do, but the Chiefs scored nothing in the first half.
And they scored 31 in the second, 24 in the fourth quarter. Andy Reid made adjustments and went out there and torched the greatest defensive mind in NFL history. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, this wasn't – boy, the Patriots are better football. No, the Chiefs had an awful defense, and they couldn't stop anybody. They hung 51 on the Rams. So I think the bigger fear is if the Chiefs get it right on defense, how good are the Chiefs going to be? I mean, and I get what you're saying. You give a great – you get a franchise quarterback with Belichick and he's got it on defense, awesome. The majority of the offenses can't beat Bill Belichick. Andy Reid can score on Bill Belichick, and he's done it, what, the last five times that he's played him? So I think if I'm the Patriots, I'm like, oh, boy, we better get a quarterback, because if we got to face the Chiefs going forward, we're going to be in a shootout.
Coming up in just a little bit, I actually think that this year was maybe the lesson that the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes needed. And we'll talk about Mahomes winning MVP over the weekend. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Tony Gonzalez story. And I think I can explain how Tony Gonzalez feels in a way that many of you actually agree with Tony Gonzalez. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And we'll catch up with our favorite Chief. That is, well, being himself online. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. It's the most Kansas City thing ever that Patrick Mahomes won MVP 2 days ago, but we rather talk about a perceived Tony Gonzalez diss. the Mahomes winning MVP, we've just known for such a long time that we've been talking about it. It's not like I just realized 2 days ago that Mahomes was going to win MVP. I realized that like week 15 of the NFL season that Mahomes was going to win MVP. So we've been talking about Mahomes winning MVP for just such a long period of time.
And if Tony Gonzalez wouldn't have said what he said, we wouldn't be talking about him today, more than likely, right?
You know, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest part of it. Tony Gonzalez came out and said, you know, Atlanta made his career, no offense to Kansas City. And so, yeah, Tony Gonzalez made his own news.
So I put together a list because I feel like I am in charge of the it's going to happen at some point committee with Kansas City. Now,
how did you get put in charge of that?
I took it upon myself. Now, I will admit that many people have come around and they feel the exact same way about Mahomes, and that I feel like the list of people that at least right now consider him to be Dan Marino appears to be very small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't let him not win next year because the list is going to be, hey, you had the MVP, you did all this stuff, everybody's going to love you. But right now, I think everybody tends to agree. So, we looked this up today. These are the last 15 quarterbacks to win NFL MVP. So, Mahomes is included. So, Mahomes, Brady, Ryan, Cam, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Rich Gannon, Steve McNair, Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Randall Cunningham, Joe Montana, Boomer Esiason, and Dan Marino. I don't know about you. I heard a lot of Hall of Famers out of those last 15 quarterbacks to win. So, we admit
what's Boomer, the only guy not to go to the Super Bowl?
Like, you got to be a great quarterback. You got to be a great quarterback to win MVP, I would say, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Aside from Rich Gannon, the most of these, I would say, were great quarterbacks. No disrespect to Rich Gannon. I just wouldn't put him in the same category of Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. The only one on this list to not go is Randall Cunningham. Boomer went with the Bengals back in the day.
Yeah, one against the 49ers.
Out of the last 14 quarterbacks to win MVP, only one of these have not gone to a Super Bowl, not including Mahomes, who has only started for one season, so I don't think he should be held to the same standard of Aaron Rodgers over the course of his career. So, out of the last 15, only one has not gone to a Super Bowl. That's in Randall Cunningham. And then seven of these have not won one. So, Ryan didn't win one. Cam didn't win one. Gannon didn't win one. McNair didn't win one. Boomer, Reno. So, the odds, I will continue to say, the odds always suggest at some point Mahomes is going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be next year. I don't know if it's going to be the year after. But if you're asking me, will Patrick Mahomes ever start in a Super Bowl, the overwhelming data suggests that eventually he is going to start in a Super Bowl. That I'm with you. Every year, you got to hold him to the standard of Super Bowl or bust. But again, the overwhelming numbers, any data that you find, overwhelmingly suggests that at some point Mahomes, he will get his shot to play in the big game.
Yeah, and I'm with you. He certainly looks that way right now, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like a guy that should have been playing last night. I mean, I've said that till I was blue in the face today. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they can get the defensive thing taken care of, then Mahomes is going to the Super Bowl probably next year. So you should feel good about that. Absolutely.
So this was I saw this quote, and I actually thought this was like a really interesting quote from your guy Andrew Whitworth, left tackle for the Los Angeles Rams. It sounded a lot like what Travis Kelce said a couple of weeks ago that made you really mad. Remember we played that cut from Travis Kelce and we was talking about them not being ready and not being able to adjust to the speed and the overall physicality of the game. Hey, Brandon, if you could find that cut really quickly, find what Travis Kelce said a couple of days ago when he went on Dan Patrick talking about the AFC Championship game. Listen to what Andrew Whitworth had to say. Who? He's 37 years old,
been
played a lot of big-time games, been in it. Veteran tackle Andrew Whitworth went one step further. This is from Michael Silver of NFL.com. Admitted that he and his teammates were a bit undone by the moment, which included a dominant pro-Patriots contingent among the crowd. Quote, guys were a little rattled. That's from Andrew Whitworth, 37 years old. Andrew Whitworth has been in some battles, has been in some wars, played in the NFL a long time. For he to admit to a columnist that he was a little bit undone by the moment tells me one thing. That I think all of us fell for this, and I put myself in the category. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Man, the Patriots are the Patriots. And the experience of playing in big-time games, winning those big-time games, your coach's mindset of we don't lose these kind of games is incredibly valuable. That the Chiefs, I thought, learned that lesson for the first 30 minutes of this game. Chiefs high-flying offense, cities, everybody's ready. Everybody's kind of putting down the Patriots and saying it's our time, it's our time. Patriots were like, nope. Rams, same exact concept. Rams came in very confident. Certainly nobody thinks that the Rams didn't come in prepared for this matchup. Sean McVay, great coach. Jared Goff, good quarterback, good talent on that team. They did not look ready for the moment. That I'm thinking, maybe, just possibly, this year was a good lesson. that we were making the analogy about Jordan and the Pistons, mm-hmm. of how you needed that first year disappointment to kind of take your lumps a little bit to get ready for that next step. That's what it looked like with the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. That's what it looked like for Jared Goff last night. If you had to take your lump, you had to get embarrassed in front of everybody for now your breakthrough next year. Because to hear somebody like Andrew Whitworth say he came a little bit undone by the moment and, quote, guys were rattled. We agree that never happens with the Patriots. I mean, Brady's played in this thing 9 times. Gronk's played in this thing 4 or 5 times. Edelman's played in this thing. Chris Hogan's played in this thing. For the most part, everybody on that Patriots team that matters has played in this moment. You cannot say the same thing for the Rams. You cannot say the same thing for the Chiefs. That I think the experience of playing in those games really mattered in those two games.
Yeah, and where's the stat for that? I mean, we're stat-heavy and analytics-driven all the time now, right? I mean, that's what we look at. There's no stat for experience. Andrew Whitworth is exactly right. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So you can't tell me that the Patriots don't have somewhat of an advantage when it comes to, hey, I'm going to deal with family members. I'm going to deal with the craziness of the Super Bowl. I'm going to deal with requests. I'm going to deal with a different schedule or in a different city getting ready for a game. We're playing in what's supposed to be a neutral stadium. The halftime's a hell of a lot longer. There's a million different things that go on in the Super Bowl that don't happen in a regular game. So we can look at stuff on paper and say, wow, that team's really good. That team should do this. That's not always the way it works. And I guarantee the experience factor played a huge role in that. And I don't know how you prepare yourself for that. You can prepare the best you can, but you've never been through it. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, McVay's 33 years old. How in the hell is he supposed to know everything going into this game? And here's the cut from Travis Kelce that you were talking about, C-Dot.
Getting off of that man coverage, it took to us a little while. And at times that we were finally getting off man coverage, Pat was kind of under duress back there. All in all, I hate to say it, but we weren't ready for it. And, you know, in the second half, we came out and we came out firing because we were.
You know, maybe I was a little bit hard on the Chiefs for saying they weren't ready for it then, because you're right. Those guys haven't had any experience in the AFC title game either. Andy Reid has. I mean, what, do you have 5 NFC title games with the Eagles? But the players haven't done it. I guess I expected them to be a little bit more ready and ready to go in this thing, considering the game was at Arrowhead. But, yeah, you can't prepare for what you don't know. You can guess. You can say, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and here's what I've been told, or here's how. But you go out there, and it's all Patriots. I mean, if you watch social media last night, I can't tell you the number of reporters that were going nuts about it. Was a completely Patriots crowd. There was only a handful of Rams fans there.
And I just think about, I would say, what I hear every coach say about Belichick, every former player, that Belichick is the best at taking away what you really do well. That I think the Patriots, they've played in this enough, and I think their players are coached too. Hey, they're going to do some things, and we're going to be able to adjust. You got to trust me in this. That I hear a guy like Travis Kelce, all pro, say that they weren't ready. When I see a guy like Andrew Whitworth, who this might be his last NFL game, admit that he and his teammates were a bit undone by the moment. I think that losing in the AFC Championship game could, as odd as it sounds, be a great thing for the Chiefs moving forward. That you dealt with the disappointment, you at least got your first taste of it, you're hungry, you're ready to get back, mm-hmm. so the next time you get back to that game, nothing can overwhelm you.
Yeah.
The moment can't overwhelm you. That the moment appeared to overwhelm the Rams. They looked very overwhelmed. Jared Goff looked terrible in that game. Mahomes, for the first 30 minutes, appeared to be very overwhelmed by this game. If you had to ask me, I don't think that happens again to Patrick Mahomes in this team.
I don't think it does either. I remember I was listening to some, I think it was Michael Irvin talking on NFL Network, and they were talking about the Cowboys' first Super Bowl, which was an absolute blowout win. I think it was over the Bills. And he said, we didn't think we were going to win that game. Like, we weren't there yet. We weren't ready to go yet. Not ready to, they were prepared for the game, but they didn't feel like they were, as a team, were ready to take that next step and get over the hump and win the Super Bowl. And they went out there and blew everybody out, you know, and walked away. It wasn't even close against the Bills. So I do think there is some of that. We got there. Should we be here? What are we going to expect? I get it, and I think that's a unique and an honest perspective from both Whitworth and from Travis Kelce. And I actually like the fact, now that you go back and listen to it again a couple of weeks after the game, and you're like, okay, I kind of get it now. Maybe I understand it a little bit more. And I think you're right, C-Dot. I think losing that game can only be a positive for the Chiefs, even though I think it was a wasted opportunity for them.
Coming up in just a little bit, I think I can explain how Tony Gonzalez feels in a way that many of you will agree with. I'll try it next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
We're still waiting on the Super Bowl numbers to be released. We saw the ratings, but we do not have the total number. I thought it was, but it sounds like that number was a little bit bogus. So we'll have the official number once it's out. You and I were kind of debating over the course of last week whether they were going to crack over 100 million viewers or not. I think they're going to come really close to it if they get there. I mean, last night's game, I thought there already was diminished interest and the game wasn't very popular nationally. I think they're going to have a tough time getting over 100 million viewers for the game.
And I think the factoring in California, which, you know, typically, you know, I mean, the Chargers aren't in it. The Niners haven't been in it for a long time. The Raiders haven't been in it for a long time. I figure you're going to have a huge viewership from the state of California. I think the other thing that might save them, even though a lot of people thought the game was boring, is the fact that it went down to the wire. And I think that will probably keep people around because if it's a blowout, people are turning it off. You know who's going to win, and it's early third quarter. That game's over. You know, that game, you're past the halftime show. It's 35-10. Yeah, I'm switching to something else. I'm going to bed. I'm doing something else, whatever. So I think the one saving grace, even though it wasn't a great game last night, according to most people, I enjoyed the defensive battle, and I liked that it came down to the wire, is that at the very least, it was a close game, and it came down to the final couple minutes.
If you guys missed it, here's what Tony Gonzalez had to say over the weekend. He was talking to Atlanta media, and Chiefs fans are mad.
You know what, Falcons, honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
So he said that, and then he got on the Tony Gonzalez Apology World Tour very soon after that.
Hey, what's up, Chief fans? Tony Gonzalez here. I'm apologizing. I did not send this video out yesterday, but I was in Atlanta, and, of course, it was all pretty much Atlanta reporters, and they put the video and said, send it out to the Atlanta Falcon fans. But now it's your turn. Kansas City Chief fans, I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. The 12 years I spent there were fantastic. I always tell people I became a man, obviously on the field, but off the field as well out in Kansas City. And the fan support that I had out there is second to none. I always tell it's diehards and people that supported me through the tough times and through the great times that we had out there in Kansas City. And I'm looking forward to Canton for those that can make it. I would love that, first of all. And I just want to tell you guys, once again, thank you for my marvelous 12 years out there in Kansas City. Go Chiefs.
So I want to try to put this into a little bit of context. And I admit that I can't speak for Tony Gonzalez. I don't know the man. But I'm going to try to put myself into the shoes of Tony Gonzalez, those Hall of Fame slippers he's got. As I told you, I don't think he has an issue with Chiefs fans. I think his issue is only directed towards the management. I don't think he has any issue with Chiefs fans. So, like, the first comment, if I put it through the lens of my issue is with the organization, it actually makes sense to me why I love being a Falcon, playing for a winning organization. I don't think he had any smoke towards fans, but I get why fans would be upset. Think about it like this. How many Chiefs fans have you talked to? How many Chiefs fans have we heard on the text line? How many Chiefs fans have we taken calls that genuinely believe the Chiefs, pre-Mahomes, did not care about winning a Super Bowl? We agree, Mahomes has changed the way a lot of people think about the Chiefs, but I've lived in this town long enough to know, you've lived in this town long enough to know, Brandon, you are from here. There is a portion of Chiefs fans that genuinely believe, during Tony Gonzalez's prime, the owner was not concerned with trying to win a Super Bowl, was not willing to do whatever it took to win a Super Bowl. We agree with that, right?
Yes and no, but yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think in the beginning, I think that they were just trying to get people in, you know, excited about the Chiefs. I think that's what in the early 90s, nobody was going to games. Nobody cared about the Chiefs in the 80s, and they were trying to get people back. And to do that, you got a bridge quarterback to get you over the top. I don't think Super Bowl was necessarily something they were shooting for. I would agree with on that
point. Okay, so I'm saying is that belief is out there. I'm not saying I believe, not saying you believe. Yeah. We agree, but that belief is out there.
I mean, I believed it early on in the Marty years. I believe that. I don't think winning a Super Bowl was the key. I think it was getting people fired up about Chiefs football and filling the stadium again.
Okay. If you're Tony Gonzalez, what position are you most dependent on having successful for you to be successful?
Yeah, the quarterback.
The quarterback position, right?
Yeah.
We also would agree that there is a large number of Chiefs fans that would also agree the Chiefs, for a substantial amount of time, not 1 year, not 2 years, for decades, were afraid of investing heavily in the position that most affected the livelihood of Tony Gonzalez, right?
Yeah,
the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Combine those two things. So you believe there was an organization that was not fully committed to winning the ultimate prize in sports. What all of these guys tell us that they're fighting for, the game we just watched. We also think, at least a lot of people in Kansas City do, that they were not fully invested in the quarterback position. We can agree that when Tony Gonzalez left here and went to another organization, he went to an organization that would appear to have completely different goals than that. They've hosted Super Bowls before. They've played in Super Bowls before. They drafted a quarterback high up. It would appear that the Falcons, at least during that time frame, had a completely different mindset than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
It makes sense why Tony Gonzalez feels that way. It makes sense if you look at it through the prism of your complaints as a Chiefs fan and what you've been most angry about the Chiefs for 30 years pre-Patrick Mahomes. Imagine playing in it. Imagine the sacrifice of giving your body to an organization that you don't fully believe is trying to win a Super Bowl, or fully believing that they're trying to go out there and get you the most help at the quarterback position. That's what Tony Gonzalez had to live with for 12 years. I understand being a little pissed off about that.
I mean, he also had Trent Green for 5 years, and he had a 13-3 season in there. He had two 13-3 seasons in there. You know, so you're, what, the number one seed twice over that period of time? I mean, Carrington, you talked about this. Like, how many times do you get to host an AFC title game over the course of a great quarterback's career? It's not very often.
Not very often. Nope.
So we got two cracks at it. Got two cracks at it, man. You had Dick Vermeil for 5 years and Trent Green for five of those years. Yeah, there's some Thigpen and Heward mixed in there too. So I'm with you on that part of it. But that's not what Tony Gonzalez said. And I'm going off what he said. And what he said was Atlanta is what made his career. No offense, Kansas City. To the team that drafted you, to the team that turned you into a Hall of Famer, no matter who the quarterback was. And I understand 100% why Chiefs fans are rubbed the wrong way. And the apology to me was just because he looked bad. And Tony Gonzalez doesn't like looking bad because it didn't come off as sincere to me. You know, he can like, now it's your turn, Kansas City. No, it's not your, it's not our turn. You misspoke. You said something you shouldn't have. You had very little respect for our city and the fan base that supported you. So now you got to come back and cover your ass. So I get why people are pissed today. I totally get it.
Text line 69306. I guess Trent Green was trash. Maybe Bass the defense, C-Dot. Let's not now retrospect, glorify the time of Trent Green. You know who Trent Green was? He was 2003 Alex Smith. The same Alex Smith that you guys couldn't wait to get rid of. The same Alex Smith that couldn't get you over the hump and you couldn't wait to get Patrick Mahomes. That's who Trent Green was. I got no issue with Trent Green. Like Trent Green. Great guy. Lives here in Kansas City. But let's now look back on the Trent Green era like the Chiefs were out here doing everything they could at the quarterback. That was the same mentality the Chiefs have had my entire life pre-Patrick Mahomes. Go get another team's cast off. Don't invest in your own quarterback. Don't spend a draft pick. Go get another team's failed project and didn't work and try to make them. So come on now. Let's be honest here. Let's not spend the Trent Green era like that was some magical time in Kansas City. He was the same quarterback of Alex Smith. They put a world amount of help around him, and then he was able to be sufficient. It was the exact same era of the Alex Smith era. People talk bad about Alex Smith, and y'all was doing the same thing about Trent Green. I'll never forget listening to Jason Whitlock, and he said that, he said about Trent Green, like you can't spell Trent without INT. Y'all hated Trent Green when he was the quarterback. So let's not go back like Trent was Patrick Mahomes in 2003 because we all know that he was Matt Hasselbeck.
Well, I mean, until 2003 when they were 13-3. I mean, Trent Green was what, 6-10, 8-8, 13-3, 7-9, and 10-6.
Trent Green was good, man. Trent Green was good. I won't stand for this slander. Trent Green was really good.
Trent Green was Alex Smith.
And here's the other thing, too, though. Let's not forget, Trent Green was supposed to be the guy in St. Louis. You know, with the greatest show on turf, had all that around him until he blew his knee out. Kurt Warner did his thing. Rest is history. Warner's in the Hall of Fame. Trent Green came to Kansas City.
Trent Green was second in the league in passing yards from 2002 to 2004. Trent Green was legitimately good.
I think Trent Green was fine. I think we see that Trent Green was just a product of an incredible situation.
But let's not make it sound like Tony Gonzalez never had a quarterback in Kansas City. Trent Green's a good quarterback.
He had an okay quarterback. He was okay. Trent Green was okay.
Tony Gonzalez ate in Kansas City when Trent Green was his quarterback. So
Trent Green was okay.
The bottom line is this. I mean, Tony Gonzalez came out, showed absolutely no love for Kansas City, had to come out and cover his ass. You know, I mean, we drafted him, raised him, saw him through all this stuff, and he did not show Kansas City and its fans much respect. But that's the bottom line.
Let me ask you this when it comes to him. What do you think that Tony Gonzalez gave to the organization? What do you think the organization gave to him?
Well, I don't
not fan-wise. I'm saying is Tony Gonzalez. You admit. You can die every single time you play football. That's not even hyperbolic. Well, you can die every time you go out there. You can risk serious, significant injury.
He made $72 million over the course of his career, the majority of it in Kansas City, so I think he was paid well for his job.
And then you go out there. Okay, so they paid him for being really good at his job.
Yeah.
Do you think they did the best that they could in terms of putting talent around him to give him a chance to win a Super Bowl?
I think in the Trent Green years they did, because they had a great running game, one of the best offensive lines, you know, in football, maybe one of the best of all time. You can make that argument.
They have the same problem they have right now, and their defense was terrible.
They couldn't stop anybody, and we
all knew it was bad. We all knew it was bad.
But again, that's not what Tony Gonzalez came out and said. So I'm focusing on what he said, not what I think he meant. What he said was, Atlanta made his career. No offense, Kansas City. And I think that's a slap in the face to everybody in this town and to Chiefs fans, especially the ones that wanted to go down to Canton or go up to Canton and be there for his induction ceremony. I wouldn't blame you a bit if you don't want to go.
Text line 69306. Trent Green had the best offensive line, best running back, best special teams that year. CDOT. The Chiefs could score a lot of points. I'm simply going off conversations we've all had in this town. We never felt like the Chiefs were invested in the quarterback position. Many of you never thought the Chiefs were trying to win a Super Bowl until they drafted Patrick Mahomes. So what I'm just saying is, I can see if I played a 12-year Hall of Fame career, I put my body on the line. I showed up for work every day. I did everything I was supposed to do in the community, and you didn't uphold your end of the bargain. That's how it sounds to me. It kind of feels like what happened with a Kevin Garnett in Minnesota. I did everything I was supposed to do for the Timberwolves. Trade me to the Celtics. I did what I was supposed to do. You guys didn't put a winner around me. I never got a chance to win. I want to go win.
And then what did the Chiefs do? They put him. They traded him to a winner. So not only did you want to get out of here, you want to try and win. It's our bad. We're in another transition. Absolutely, we'll trade you. We'll take great care of you because you're one of the best that ever played our position. You know, and they sent him to Atlanta with a chance to win. Got to the NFC title game, and this is what he says. It just comes off as ungrateful to me.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about our favorite Chiefs player, and he had a great weekend. I'll tell you who it is. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive presented.
Back in on The Drive, we'll get into the hits coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Fanning loved the Super Bowl. We'll talk about Tony Gonzalez a little bit more. And the Vegas odds, they are very pro your Kansas City Chiefs and next season, so we'll talk about it. But there's a lot of things we got to get into before we get to the top story of the day in Kansas City. Let's start with this. Many of you have favorite players on the Chiefs team. Now, maybe you guys have one favorite player on the team. If Patrick Mahomes is your favorite player on the Chiefs, I can't fault you for that. But you know who my favorite player on the Chiefs is?
Demetrius Harris.
Sammy Watkins.
Oh.
I got a love for Sammy Watkins. That's a little different than the love that you guys have for him.
You like old at King Me? You like him?
That you guys, it's actually at Sammy Watkins. King Me's his name.
Oh,
at
King
Sammy
Me's.
Watkins
oh,
is,
my
his,
bad.
Is his handle.
My bad.
That I don't really, I'm not too high on Sammy Watkins, the football player. I think you guys know that at this point. But I love Sammy Watkins on Twitter because Sammy Watkins gives us great information and insight into the mind of a professional athlete that nobody else does. This warms my heart that for the first time in 2019, we can take a look at Sammy Watkins' Twitter account. The blueprint is already there. If you are mentally connected, your soul is beyond this spectrum. It's an energy that can't be stopped. That fire we have is good, but we have to mentally be tapped in. If not, the three-dimensional world, our people, will have control over the mental aspect of your soul.
What?
You got that, Brandon?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
I honest to God have no idea what he's talking about.
I'm not going to lie to you. I legitimately don't know what anything he just said is. The blueprint is already there if you're mentally connected.
Okay, I can get behind that. See, okay, there's the blueprint if you're locked in mentally.
Your soul is beyond this spectrum. Mm-hmm. It is an energy that can't be stopped.
Beyond what spectrum?
Like? The fire that we have is good, but we have to be mentally tapped in. If not, the three-dimensional world, our people, will control the mental aspect of your soul.
That's where he lost me.
I had no clue that our soul had a mental aspect until I got on Sammy Watkins' Twitter account.
Serious question. Do you think he's copying and pasting this from somewhere, or is this actually Sammy?
No, this is a thing we've been doing since training camp.
I think this is Sammy Watkins. I think, like many of us, he sits down and he picks his phone up and like, man, what am I thinking? And there's then he no types way. It out. Hold on. No, there's more. That wasn't just all he gave us on the Twitter account. He gave us more. Great day to be alive. Let's continue to be love and give love. That's the only way we can shift our consciousness. We need to move with logic and pure intentions to change the vibrations in this world. One love. Hashtag Starship 14. Hashtag Limitless. That's what he said.
Some of the replies to the latest tweet are really good. Somebody wants to know, at the Shallow Cross wants to know what flavor the Tide Pod he was eating, what flavor that was. Put this man in concussion protocol. That's another one. He's way out there, man. With some of this stuff. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about this time. Sometimes I feel like I can kind of get where he's going, but you start talking about the three-dimensional world and your mental soul. I don't know what he's doing.
I can't believe that you guys would disrespect my guy like this. Let me go to, I just, going through his Twitter account just gives me life. The hardest thing in this world is to be a good person with a good heart. When you've surrounded yourself around vultures that don't have empathy for nobody. Protect yourself, brother. Many people don't genuinely care anymore. The world is changing. I actually kind of understood that. That actually kind of made some sense.
Was he talking about the Rams, maybe? With vultures in L.A.? Is that where he's...
I don't know, but I'm just saying is that... Like, that logic actually made a little bit of sense.
I mean, the world is changing. I think we can all agree with that. I mean, it changes every day.
And it's hard to be a good person with a good heart. And if you surround yourself with negative energy that don't have empathy, you got to protect yourself because many people don't care. That actually, that made a lot of sense.
You got
These
me,
have to be quotes from a book or something that he's reading.
I don't think so,
They
dude.
Have to be. No, I'm being serious.
No, and so am I. Like, if you read the way that they're typed... I mean, they're not, you know, the grammar on here ain't the best. If you know
so
what I'm
I looked
saying.
Something up. There is a book called The Primal Connection, Follow Your Genetic Blueprint to Health and Happiness.
Uh-huh.
That's a book, and that there's a lot of words in there that are similar phrasing to what his latest tweet was. It's got to be.
So that. You think that's what he's quoting?
It's
like
got to be.
You know, some people, like, wake up and they, like, quote scripture. You're saying that he wakes up and quotes this book.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing.
If he
there.
Put the quotations before, it would make so much more sense in the world. Someone on the text line is trying to explain what Sammy Watkins is trying to tell us. He's basically saying that your soul is your mind's eye or your third eye, and that the material world is a third dimensional world. Fire is the energy inside you. Yeah, I'm going to be real. If you can understand what Sammy Watkins is talking about, you've got a different, higher level of thinking than I have. Because I have no clue what Sammy Watkins is talking about.
Is that Sammy's number? Do we have Sammy's cell number?
That might be him. Someone says you guys aren't smart enough to understand the philosophy
That's correct.
Of Sammy Watkins.
Absolutely.
You are 1,000% correct. Yeah, no. I'm not even close to smart enough or tapped into whatever he's tapped into to share that kind of wisdom with you. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
You know I love my random questions and toss-ups and hypotheticals. Would you trade Sammy Watkins and a fourth-round pick for Julian Edelman? Tomorrow, Bill calls you and says Julian Edelman's getting old. He's getting up there. I told him to shave. He won't shave his beard. I'm done with him.
Sammy Watkins and a fourth-round pick
Sammy Watkins
and
a fourth-round pick for Julian Edelman.
Okay, Julian Edelman is he's going to be 33 when the season starts. What's Edelman make? Does he make a ton of money? What's his contract?
Nothing.
Yes.
He's one of 27 guys on the Patriots that just happens to be underpaid.
Done deal. Absolutely. I'm making that deal. You tell me you got, I'll give up a fourth round pick. Sammy, get Sammy's contract off the books. You got Edelman on one side. You got Tyreek on the other side. Travis Kelce and pick whatever scat back running back that Andy's going to turn into a decent player. Absolutely. I make that deal in a heartbeat.
Who do you think is better? Between Sammy Watkins and Julian Edelman.
I would say Edelman is better. I think Edelman's better because Sammy can't seem to stay healthy. I know Edelman blew out his knee and he had the 4-game PED thing, but Edelman shows up.
I think Sammy's more talented,
I
don't know how much that matters.
That's a really good point. I do think Sammy's more talented.
I also think Sammy's skill set probably fits a little bit better with what Patrick Mahomes does.
Did you see Julian Edelman last night, though? And they talked about this on the broadcast a bunch. When he's open, he is open by a mile. By a mile. Somehow that dude figures out a way to get open. Can you imagine how does a defense get ready for Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Julian Edelman.
Brandon, would you take this trade? Sammy Watkins and a fourth-round pick for Julian Edelman straight up.
I think I would take it for the fourth. I think if you made it into a third, that's when I say no. Because with the fourth-round pick, fourth-round picks are like, you got a 30% chance of getting anybody that's actually going to be useful for your team. And I think Julian Edelman just in general is a better player than Sammy. But if you made it a third-round pick, I think I would say no.
Here's the thing, though, too. We're talking about trying to win inside this window before you got to pay Mahomes, right? That's another reason why I make the deal.
I just like how a lot of people on the text line are saying no, they won't make that trade because that means Belichick is trying to get over on if he wants to trade Julian Edelman.
He's going
to
turn Sammy Watkins into freaking Randy Moss in New England.
If he wants to do this. This is my question, though. I honestly have a question about this, and I think you guys know where I am when it comes to Sammy Watkins. Who's the Chiefs' Julian Edelman? Because I don't know this. I didn't look this up. This is just my hypothesis. I bet if we looked up out of the last 15 third downs that the Patriots have that they threw the ball, the last 15 third down conversions in which the Patriots threw the ball, my hypothesis would be 11 of them went to Julian Edelman. That I know it, you know it, the Chiefs knew it, the Rams knew it. In a critical spot, they are going to Julian Edelman. And you know what? Julian Edelman always found a way to get open, always found a way to beat his man, beat whatever coverage. He was the best player on the field yesterday. I know he won MVP. I'm saying on the field with Brady, on the field with Ty Gurley, on the field with Jared Goff, on the field with Aaron Donald, the only player that the other team seemed to have no answer for was Julian Edelman yesterday. With Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, the only player that the other team couldn't stop is Julian Edelman. Who do you think that person is for the Chiefs? Who do you think the person is? We got third and eight. We are going to go to you every single time and know we are going to convert. Do they have a Julian Edelman?
I thought before what the Patriots did to Tyreek Hill that it was Tyreek Hill. And I think in most cases it is Tyreek Hill because Tyreek Hill is just too fast. And he's got great hands. So I think it's Tyreek Hill. I don't think he's on the level of Julian Edelman in terms of getting open and being able to go to him every single time. I think we saw that, you know, what the Patriots did to Tyreek, you know, in the AFC title game. That shocked me because he'd absolutely shredded the Patriots before that. But I think it's Tyreek.
You got that person?
Is this a cop-out to say that I think the answer is that the Chiefs' version of Julian Edelman, who I trust on third downs, is just Patrick Mahomes? Like, I just trust that Patrick Mahomes is the guy that's going to make that play. Yeah. He's going to find whoever's open, and he's going to find a way to make the best play possible.
No, I think that's fair.
It feels like a bit of a cop-out because Tom Brady is also that guy, and so you kind of need the second part of that piece, but I would say it's Mahomes.
I just was watching. I mean, think it back. I mean, all of us have watched the last two games. I'm going to say all of us. Live, you didn't watch the Super Bowl. The ratings kind of bear that out. I've watched every snap of the last two Patriots games. The last three Patriots games. Julian Edelman, if they needed a play, we all knew where they were going, and the other team had absolutely no answer for it. That just, man, having that security blanket of a guy you know in a critical spot you can go to, I just think really changes it. So we got the stat. Brady targeted Julian Edelman on 7 of their last 10 third downs yesterday.
Last 15.
Yeah. My apologies. That's where they were going. Just we all knew where they were going. The ball was going to Julian Edelman, and you really couldn't stop it. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.